The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy, Pete and Steve. All right, lads?
Yeah, hello.
I got to say, I did have a laughing fit earlier. Steve said, oh, listen, he said, I've badly timed my cooking here. I may be a little late joining, but crack on. I won't be long. I might join in and listen until I finish. I thought, how hard is it to time a pot noodle? You know, it's not that hard, is it? Paddy said, what's for dinner, Steve? And Steve said, pasta and spag bol with garlic bread and pepperoni dirty fries. I said, ooh, four carbs. Steve, I don't count. It's a Friday. He's enjoying himself. Dirty. Do you know why I laughed there? I imagine Steve, honestly, running a restaurant and someone finishing off his dirty fries and saying, they were gorgeous, Steve. Why are they dirty? Oh, I shoved them up my bum.
Full of the dad jokes today, isn't it?
Jesus. Starting low.
Why are they dirty?
What are dirty fries, Steve? It looks like that. In that plate there, I'm not joking, it looks not far away from that. What is it? It's a mess.
Yeah. Which one of those is dirty fries?
Yeah, right.
Well, the ones that look like you've been shoving up his bum.
Hang on a minute, you don't know what dirty fries... Have you never heard of dirty fries before?
Well, that's why we're asking the question, Steve.
Yeah,
it's like a street food's revelation.
Oh, is it?
Looks like street food.
Yeah, it picked up off the street.
Looks like the stuff down Chippy Alley.
It is street food. Yeah, literally, that's why they're dirty. Just give them a wash. What's going on with you? Have you finished your food yet, Steve?
No, I'm halfway through.
He's got my little trailer.
That's a lot of food, Steve. Yeah,
is it? Well, it probably is. Actually, yeah, it is actually. Yeah. That is two meals, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got a big portion of, you know, bolognese pasta there, then a portion of dirty fries with pepperoni, then an entire garlic bread.
The garlic bread.
I can't understand. I'm putting on weight. I have no idea why I'm putting on a bit of weight.
Yeah, that's at least 4,000 calories there.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, I think it's probably just in the dirty fries, yeah.
Yeah.
I skipped breakfast, so don't worry about it.
Oh, that's good then.
I'm not worried.
Yeah. Well, you should skip breakfast tomorrow as well, Steve.
Yeah,
just in case.
And maybe Sunday, just in case.
What's for afters?
Well, no, this is the thing. So I always overcook on the weekends, and then I can go back a few hours later and pick. See?
Oh, what a great plan.
upstairs for thinking, downstairs for eating.
It's more like downstairs in the toilet after eating all that stuff. God, for a long time. See, that's the thing, see? I always overcook on the weekend, then I can go back and pick. It's like Steve's all-day buffet weekend. Come along, everyone. Do you want to try my
dinner? The start of one of those ITV documentaries where they go to a family that's got a terrible diet and they transform their lives.
It looks like poor family, rich family, you know? And that's literally when the poor family goes to the rich family's house and they've got a bit of cash to spend, that's what they buy. Ooh, look at that, I got three courses.
Is this all home prepared, Steve, or is it from M&S?
No, the bolognese is homemade, but from the freezer.
Who's home?
Oh, homemade.
Yeah, and the dirty fries are from Aldi. And
We don't know where they're from, Steve. Let's not go back down there. Anyway, welcome. No politics this weekend, Pad. I had someone have a go at me on Twitter saying, tell Paddy's back, the politics. You didn't miss him talking politics. So we're not going to talk about politics, okay?
I didn't bring it up at once. You just kept on saying
you bring it up all the time. Let's stop now before we slowly get dragged into it again. It's almost like getting hooked into it and fished in by fishermen here. In the murky depths of politics. But it's enough of that nonsense. We're all about fun and stocks and shares. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they can go hand in hand. Investing and fun.
Go on then. Okay. Okay. Prove
me.
Make it fun.
Well, we started on Diddy Fries. That was quite fun. Do you know what I tweeted out the other day? I said, we are on a bear market. It's in the American markets and now tanking. I do think the microcaps have tanked. They're always ahead, you know? But the American markets have been tanking for a while. And I said, you know, in bear markets, you have a choice, ladies and gentlemen, as in life. You get better or you give up. You know, and that's like anything in life, isn't it? You've got to put the work in. If you choose to get better and research more, this is where you learn. You learn in bear markets because you re-look. In a bull market, it's easy. You can buy any old crap and it'll go up. And you think, I'm a genius. I'm like Warren Buffett here. I haven't done any research. Look at the guy on Twitter and said, it's a good stock. I bought it. And it goes up And that's all you have to do. But at Bearmark, you have to revisit your investment case over and over again, and then you realise, oh, I think that is rubbish. But then, you start to learn, why? What is a good stock? What's a bad stock? And then, when the bull market returns, it will pay you dividends. And I said to my kids, I said, listen, I always say, winners never quit, quitters never win. And that includes cigarettes. Nobody kidding. But it's true, isn't it? You've got to keep... I've learned so much in the last 2 years since I was at the investment club by, when you sort of intend or help, try to help people, you end up finding out things. I've learned so much. And there's a new saying now. It's sell in May, sell in June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, sell again, June, July, August. No, but it's like that at the moment.
When was the last bull market?
May, last year.
What?
It ended May last year. The microcaps bull market ended May last year. We're talking about 18 months now, guys. I think microcaps, we've hit the bottom. So we'll bounce along here now. And towards the end of this year, rally! Well, I don't know when it's going to be. There's no date. The London Stock Exchange do not publish that. Yeah.
It would be easier if they did.
Wouldn't it? Say, listen, guys, we're shutting down for a couple of months. It'll be a bit of a bear market because there's no liquidity. Then we'll send you an email all... and let you know when the bull market starts again. Okay, make sure our email doesn't go into spam, because you don't want to be missing out on this one. It's a cracker.
Companies should just list on the bull market. That should be the way they do it. Ignore this bear one. Rubbish.
Do you know why people never sell at the top and never buy the bottom?
Because you always tell us not to. Just when we say it's probably about time we've sold all our stocks, and then a week later they're worth half the value.
Listen. It's almost like confirmation bias. You can have lots of different thoughts in your head, but the one that plays out, you believe that's the correct one. You think, okay, no, I thought that, I knew that, I had a hunch that was going to happen, I knew that was going to happen.
It's simple, isn't it? When it's a bull market, it's going up. You think it's going higher. When it's a bear market, it's going down. You think it's going lower. So you never sell and buy at quite the right time.
Yeah, it's all about emotion. In fact, we'll get on to they just released a bit of a trading update or operations update, XP Factory. But I did say in the group there, as soon as news comes out, generally good news, people start to worry about it. They look at the smallest things, start to worry about it. Basically, listen, I've repeat this over and over again. The hardest thing to do in investing is to do nothing, is to realise you've got a good company, good investment, and hold. Because why? You've got money in the game, skin in the game, emotions get involved, and you overthink it. And I've worried myself out of many a good investment, and it's gone berserk afterwards. I've been too early. I've done the research, I've been too early, and I just got out. And all of a sudden, it's triple, multiple bagged. And I thought, oh my God, I've done it again. I'm learning not to do that. It's so easy to worry yourself out of an investment because your opinion of one, survey of one, pretty much, and then miss out on the bull run. Dead people outperform living people. It's been proven. What does that say to you? They have no emotion. We do. We have too much emotion. So we gotta, just stay in there. It's gonna be fine, everyone. It's going to be fine, the Fed head, the reason why it's a bit choppy in the American markets, Fed head Jerome Powell. Hey, I'm Jerome. In America, what do they get the names from? Because I assume they get a lot of the culture.
Their parents.
Good point, Steve. Good point. Surprised you've got a face full of dirty fries there. Because they got some really odd names, aren't they, in America compared to the UK, like Jerome and Chad. They got some. They call Chuck. Like, no one calls Charles Chuck over here, do they?
Yeah, but they probably look at some British names and think ours are weird though as well.
Yeah,
Tabitha,
Stephen, Pete,
Justin.
I always have trouble out there. They have no idea what my name is. They think I'm Patty.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking the other day, Patty. you're a confused individual. I'm not surprised because your name is Paddy. It's not Patrick. It's Paddy, which is an Irish name. But you got a London accent. And you say you're Scottish. How can you not be messed up in your head? You say, where are you? Where are you coming from? Paddy, he's Scottish, but he sounds like he's a Cockney.
Don't ever become a psychologist, Jess. You do really bad at it.
I'm Scottish. All right, mate.
Where the hell are you, Paz? Come on.
This is just being what British is all about, isn't it?
Well, no, really. All right, my name's Paddy. I'm Scottish, mate. All right. What? What? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Scottish food, through us where we're tartan with nothing underneath. Hey! Check
you
it
need
out.
Some Welsh now, Pad, just to like complete it.
Oh, all right, Steve, chill out.
Yeah, Paddy Jones. That'd be lovely.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, leave it out, mate. All right.
I was actually this week looking at kilts, so I've got a function I need to go to.
Function? Function. What kind of function requires a kilt?
Like a posh one.
Where is this? They've started doing kilts for the last 10 years in Wales, haven't they? You see, they don't need to.
Welsh kilts, no.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The last 10 years, it's become a little bit more popular at rugby matches because they're kilts. But why wear a kilt? What's the point in that?
During the summer, I'd imagine it's quite nice to have a bit of a breeze.
We're shorts, with no pants. Why wear a kilt? I don't understand that. Kilts are quite heavy material as well. It's quite a thick material, not nicely, you know.
Oh, you can get summer kilts. You have summer kilts and winter kilts. Yeah, that's the thing.
but why? So, you know, which version to wear? Why wear any version?
I'm Scottish, aren't I? So
Scottish, aren't I? Oh, listen, mate. Right, I'm Scottish, aren't I?
I think if we went back in time to when people only wore kilts and then they looked forward to us wearing jeans, they'd probably think that was weird, though.
No, because all they had back then, Steve, all they had was a bit of cloth they'd chuck around their waist. We've moved beyond that. We've evolved beyond that. We wear now, you know, nice figure-hugging slacks. They keep you nice and warm, you know, keep the boys in check. You know what I'm dangling around the floor there?
Okay.
Let's move on, you know, move on. It's like, you still use sticks to eat your food, your hands? No, we've got knives and forks now.
When did anyone use sticks to eat food?
Well, it's halfway between knives and forks and hands.
Have you seen Justin's face when he eats something? Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, actually, you still use sticks.
No, but it's just natural evolution.
They're quite popular in China.
Oh, yes, exactly. In fact, there's comedians. Who was that? Who was it? Sean Locke, actually, wasn't it? So are they still bothering with those sticks in China then? Because we've sort of moved on a little bit from that. You know, we've got the spoon, the fork, the knife. Come on, guys, move on. It's a tradition. Yeah, but when tradition isn't practical, move on. Come on. Stop wearing heavy cloth skirts. It's pointless. Anyway,
I'll send you some photos.
To start eating food with chopsticks because it does make you eat less, doesn't it? Apparently,
yeah, Steve, but you definitely need to.
Steve, no. If you cook for five people, right, like you have there, and you're picking it all weekend, it's not going to make you less. You're going to eat the same amount, aren't you? Just slower.
I finished it all, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's good, Steve.
Wow.
Apart from the two ends on the garlic bread, I didn't eat them.
No, I don't like the ends. Right. Why do they have ends on them?
Okay.
Just have a big long middle. Yeah, get rid of the end. It's like I'm going to write them an email. Excuse me, nobody likes the ends. Please don't put ends.
A bit like this podcast, a really long middle.
You just keep it going. Just keep the garlic bread going, no ends. Anyway, so is there anything you want to discuss on a macro level? Because I'm going to go micro now and I'm going to go deep delve into micro.
More on the dirty fries?
No, we've done that.
Oh, okay.
Wow, really, that's polished the whole lot.
I was annoyed to just wake up today.
Excuse me, but Wilson, I was annoyed. I was annoyed today.
to start the day off quite nicely with, was it XBF Factory that made that rise and then to end up actually quite a bit down at the end of the day because of biome.
That's the market.
What is going on there? Well, is happening?
That's the market, you see. Justin. Oh, no, biome was very liquid. You'll have someone sell two shares. It'll drop like 5-10%. It's like, stop selling your dickens. It's an excellent company, you know, with patents on their biodegradable plastic. I don't know if you understand. It's one of the biggest themes in the world. Plastic's a problem. They've got a solution there, a halfway house solution. We're not going to get rid of plastic for like 20 years, guys. All right? But in between that, you can go towards plastic that sort of, you know, just melts away into the ground and bacteria eats it. Mmm, tasty plastic. Mmm, nice. That's what the bacteria is saying, the biomes product. Hey, is it nice? She's some chopsticks. But so it breaks down into tiny little bits there that the bacteria eat. And that's perfect, you know? And yet it's valued. It's valued. Well, in fact, let's look down at the biome, right? There we are. Right. Last year, everyone would be aware, you know, everyone would be aware that there was supply chain issues in the world, yeah? Now, biome's biggest customers are in the US of A, in the States, ladies and gentlemen. Not in the US of A, in the States. It's the same place. Oh, yes, both. So in the US of A, right? They basically, they were going to grow by 40% last year, but because of supply chains, they didn't. They exactly pretty much same revenue that the year before. That's not bad, considering, you know, where they are. But anyway, they are now confident. They did an update, and they say they're confident of hitting market estimations, forecasts, and that estimations, and they're into Q2. They know what's going on, of course, months ahead. They know how the shipping is going now. They've worked into their plan, their five-month delay on shipping. And they say they're very happy, in line with management expectations, which is basically 8.1 million revenue this year. And that's a 42.5% increase on last year. Their enterprise value is 7.2 million. You know, market cap is 8.2. So that's equal revenue. And they're growing by another 40% the year after. So, guys, people are just a bit, I think, a bit worried about things. It's like, it's the bear market, isn't it? You know, these companies now should be valued a lot higher than they are, but that's where we are. It's like if you got some good news, you shove your head above the parapet, you get your head shot off. That's it. You better off. If you're a company now, a CEO, just don't release any news. Don't release anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like the World War. Don't put your head above the things there. You get shot off. And, you know, unless you're, like, delivering news that's completely unbelievable, then... You're just treading water. You know, if you put good news out, you tread water. You put news out with a suggestion of a bit of negativity, like a full stop in the wrong place. Oh, I'm selling that. Oh, was a spelling mistake. Right, spelling mistake in the RS. Sell. So calm down, everyone. How's the business performing? Don't worry about one little spelling mistake, whatever that, or the, you know, grammatical correction. That's the way it is. The RS these days. Just crazy. But this is the bear market. If I had cash now, you'd be laughing now. You'd be buying loads of stuff. Loads of it.
Yep, that's true.
I mean, this is the fundamental problem. Like, I understand your mission to get people to just chill out a little bit in general. Mm. But that does sort of go in the face of human instinct, doesn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah. Emotions. I see. Dead people do well in investing. Be a bit more dead. Just act a bit more dead.
Yeah.
Just chill out. Say, oh, that's good. How's the business doing? Don't worry about the share price. How's the business doing, though? The share price is down 90%. No, how's the business doing? I don't know, but I'm down underwater. Don't worry about that. How is the business doing? What's the valuation there? Just look at that. It's fine. Calm down, everyone. The share prices go down. The valuations become more attractive. That's the way to look at it. If you look at valuations, you're going to get so worried. This is a bargain now. Real bargain. Woo. You know, I'm down in Byron because I bought them. Am I worried? No. No.
But with an illiquid stock like that, it doesn't take much for the price to move, does it, either way? So
no, if they release like a little RNS now saying RF Stanelco is done another £1 million contract there, it'll jump by about 50% probably, because there's very little shares in issue. And, you know, the ones that are out there, it's all about supply and demand, isn't it? It's like, did you see that the news that I just tweeted out today, just now, a few minutes ago?
No.
I just tweeted out a few minutes ago, right? I don't know if you saw this, but...
What was it?
Supermarkets set limits on the sale of cooking oil.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Thinking, oh, my, so what does that make you want to do? Well, Ukraine, isn't it? Ukraine is the biggest producer of sunflower oil in the entire world. Sunflower.
But the sunflower crop isn't going to be harvested until September, you wouldn't have thought. So why does that matter
now? Who's
going
to plant the seeds?
Well, no, of course, but the oil that's in the shops at the moment isn't... That's last year's oil.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, what does that make me want to do straight away? Quick, buy some sunflower oil! Do we need any? No! But we can't get any, though!
I've got thousands of litres in my loft.
Next to a million toilet rolls. Lockdown still.
Yeah.
But it's a good insulation, actually, all that stuff. Toilet rolls and sunflower oil. It's really good in the attic. Works.
It's good for your skin as well. Yeah.
But one thing is, stocks, you know, pretty much shares, about supply and demand, you know? If you get someone selling more than buying, the shares will go down in the end. That's what happens, you know? So even a biome, very little traded, but one guy, you know, wakes up, has a worry, oh, the market is going to hell in a handcart. I'm going to sell my biome. No.
Maybe anyone looking to sell shares in that company should be forced to do a sort of Zoom call with you just to calm you down conversation. And if at the end of that they still want to sell for whatever reason, you go, okay, cool, fine, whatever.
But, that's not a bad idea. Actually, on the sell button of all the main broker platforms.
That'd put them off. Speak to Justin. I'll just hold, thanks. I'll say, right, apart from you being a dickhead, what is it about the business you don't like? Oh, the share price is going down. No, the business. The business. No, because, the war and the share price. No,
Price wasn't going down until they sold.
Did you understand? When you sold, the share price went down. Mm. No, it went down yesterday. That's because someone else like you, another dickhead, sold as well. All right. Right.
No, but but you would have had that conversation with that person then. So we'd be, prices would never fall. That's the ideal.
Look at the business. If it was your business, you'd probably be very pleased with how it's progressing. We've gone through, a pandemic. Like I said, a war, pretty much World War III nearly in Europe. Historical high inflation, 40 years. 40 years, ladies and gentlemen. Just hold on, have a bit of British, good British spirit there. I'm going to hold on to my shares. No bugger's going to take them off me. I don't care if Putin comes over here. So give me your BAM shares. Give me your BAM shares. You bugger off, Putin. Go back to your bloody country, wherever you left, wrap yourself in the flag.
Yeah.
And have a bit of British spirit, ladies and gentlemen, that's all.
Yeah.
Such a... but is it Polarium?
Polarium. Some news.
So Polarium, the new drug application resubmission date. The recent RNS saying the FDA has accepted the resubmission of its new drug application as a complete response and has established a user fee goal date of the 30th of September, designating it Type 2. But this was 20 days after Polarium submitted it. Right, I think. I don't know if you saw my tweet on that one. Did you see that one? That was Flash the Sloth from Zootropolis stamping very slowly, stamp. And that's the way FDA worked. That slow. But I thought maybe it's the delivery system that's the problem. Have you ever had a parcel out for delivery with Hermes?
Oh my word!
It's insane.
My nephew's Christmas present from 2 years ago still hasn't been delivered.
I know.
As far as they're concerned, it's still at their delivery centre.
Yeah, but do you know what? You get something. I get an email right the day, right? First email. This is first email for the first day. We will soon be taking delivery of your parcel.
Great.
Do I need to know that you were taking delivery of my parcel? I just let go in the background. I don't need to know that. A couple of days later. We have picked up your picked up your parcel. Oh, good. You've now got it. Brilliant. So now they're telling me they were going to pick it up, and now they've got it. Thank you. Yeah. Brilliant. And then they said,
they tell you that, and you expect, okay, cool, so it'll probably be here tomorrow then. Week later, they still haven't, what the hell have you been doing with it?
And a week later, they said, your parcel's arrived at our national sorting office. All right, thanks. I don't need these emails, okay? No. Just give it to me. The next email. Your parcel's arrived at our regional office. What the hell's going on here? I do not need to know. Am I on some kind of internal CEO, email? The fourth email. Your parcel's now arrived at our local sorting office. Oh, the bloody hell is driving me nuts. And then
I just don't understand why anyone would ever not use anyone other than DPD. The cheapest and the most efficient. We can literally
actually tell you where your parcel is.
You can
actually tell them where to put the parcel, and they put it there rather than Hermes, who just chuck it over the fence or in the next door's garden. Like in Croydon, you can't leave parcels on doorsteps because people take them.
But they
keep on just leaving them on doorsteps, and people take them.
Well, that's it. Yeah. 60 mil. Your parcel is about to be loaded into the van by Trevor. I don't need to know these details, truly. Your parcel's out for delivery. Oh, brilliant. It's finally 7 emails, look. Yeah. It's out for delivery.
Trevor's just stopped for lunch.
Yeah, Trevor's having a burger, cheese and tomato. Telling you, Trevor's wearing blue shoes and a khaki top. I don't care. Yeah. And then it says, your parcel's out for delivery between 2 and 4 p.m. today. And so you get to, you're so wound up by these emails, you're standing on the doorstep looking for him, And he doesn't come. What's going on?
Trevor's having a toilet break.
Trevor has sadly died.
Your parcel has been stolen.
Yeah. Your parcel will not be delivered. Oh, what? Sod, what? Yeah, it's nuts.
They've changed their name, haven't they, to Every, to to kind of pretend that they're not the same, but it's the exact same things happen. Nothing's changed apart from the name.
Yeah. Have you seen, there's a massive, yeah. I drive to Wales, Steve, there's a massive DPD depot there. It's thousands of vans, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're all, love it in Wales.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. There's one in Bristol as well.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's by Bristol. They're driving past, into Wales, you know, past Bristol.
Oh, right.
It's like thousands of vans there. But I think, who's doing the delivery? There's thousands of them there. There's a full car park every time I drive past. So, one guy working very hard there. I don't understand that. But, DPD, they give you the name. And how personal do you want to get, though, with these people driving? How much do you want to know about them, generally? Even with Uber, how much do you want to know about these people?
DPD a PLC, or are they
Run by the Germans as well, aren't they?
Private equity.
I think they were. We looked at this before because Steve said that. He said, if you're looking at, I said, businesses you like, investing businesses you like, good. And we did look it up, and I think they are either German or French, aren't they?
All right.
DPD country.
Explains why they're so good then.
Yeah. It's true.
The Germans. It stands for. Do you know what it stands for?
Germany?
No, dynamic parcel distribution. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that at all.
But they are dynamic, aren't they?
They're owned by the French post office.
The French, that's why they're so good.
Yeah.
Key people, Boris Winkelmann. He's the chairman and CEO of Boris Winkelmann. Mr. Winkelmann, he's on it, isn't he?
They've got it right. Hermes is German, and they got it wrong. What does that tell you?
Absolutely nothing. All right. Anyway, so Plarium. So they got that stamp.
Right, Plarium.
Basically saying they've received the they've received the FDA now. We got the letter, Chuck. Yeah, we got the letter. Tell the guys we got the letter. And they just stamp it and say we've got the letter. And Plarium recent RS, we got the letter. They got it. So what I don't understand now is that I did talk about this in the webinar. Is a 90% chance of approval last time, right? Not knowing any feedback would come from the FDA. Now they knew some feedback, then the last meeting, but they didn't have any feedback. And then now they know exactly what points to cover, you know, what the issues were. So I assume they covered those off. And the broker's now given it 75% chance of success. How does that work? That doesn't make any sense. Does it? Just shows that brokers and all that just sort of make it up, don't they? Everyone
just
does.
Being cautious now, aren't they?
Does everyone sort of make it up in life? Do you think?
Well, yeah, exactly. What's the truth anymore? But that's always just, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, but you know, I just think if you're in a garage with a puncture, right? There's a puncture in there. A tire's gone down. You don't have the puncture, you know. And they said they find that there's a thorn in there, and they said, can it be fixed or not? You probably need a new tire. Okay, can we try and patch it up? And they try and patch it up. It doesn't work. Then okay, that's a failure. That's a complete response letter. Okay, so what do you do next? You just get a new tire. Yeah. That will fix the problem. So there's more of a chance now of you having a proper tyre than before, isn't there? Because you know the problem is.
Yeah, I know. Well, absolutely. Yep. And I also don't quite understand the Plarium situation. I don't quite understand how much was wrong on the initial submission. And you kind of get, why is it going to take another 5 months? Sure, you can just check what was the manufacturing. It was around manufacturing, wasn't it? Can't they just check that out?
I think they put on the submission. They call it the Fred's Drug Agency,
right?
Rather than the food, and you know.
Okay.
So they said, my God, it's not Fred, and so they just knocked them back for that. Very trivial.
But you know what I mean? It does seem bizarre that it's going to take this long because they've been through an entire approval process. Yes, they found things that needed to be clarified. Now those things hopefully are being clarified. You just need to do that, don't you?
Yeah, and how big is this document that they've got of the letters? Like, I just think, is it going to take 5 months to go through that?
No.
Maybe that was it, Steve. Maybe the postman got the door, couldn't fit through the letterbox.
Because even if it was a complete brand new submission, is it still going to take that long to do?
Yep. I realise that's what it is. First time round,
right.
They send it by post, the postman.
Yep.
The document was so big, it wouldn't fit through the letterbox.
Right.
So the postman was shoving it.
No, you sent it by Hermes,
shoving it into the letterbox. We're going. So basically, opened the package up, ripped a couple of pages out. There we are. Perfect. Fits in. Those are the pages that were missing.
Right, okay.
Because the postman said, he said, well, you said it was urgent. Try to get it through them, didn't I?
I'd quite like to ask the question to Pilleri and wonder who they did use to deliver it.
Okay, so
that was it. They said, do you know what? Last time was Hermes, now it's DPD. I was like, cool, right.
Cool. Now we're on.
Yeah, so it's like, well, there we are this time, but we know it's a done deal. Rather than that postman, Hermes guy, trying to shove it through the letterbox, then just pulling some pages out. Now it fits. That's all right, it fits. It's all right. I've just got a couple of pages there. I'll give it back to you. What do you mean, give it back to us? Maybe didn't those pages didn't fit. They're part of the submission, you fool. Yeah. What?
Yeah. Oh, right. I do love the fact, though, that we're kind of like, oh, how long? How could that take 5 months? Purely because we've got money invested and we want the result quicker, don't we? So,
there we go. Okay.
We'll see.
Any other questions, boys? Let's just go through Escape Hunt, which is now XP Factory, of course, previously known. The artist formerly known as Escape Hunt.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a weekend podcast if we didn't at least talk about XPF or Escape Hunt once. Yeah, right.
Boom Battle Bar openings update. XP Factory. That was the some good stuff in that, though. At the time of acquisition, in November, the Boom Estate comprised of one owner-operated site and six franchisee sites. Today, there are a total of 11 sites trading, two owner-operated and nine franchise sites, with a further 10 sites currently in build, scheduled to open over the coming months. Of these 10 sites, seven are at or near completion. Once opened, the enlarged estate of 21 sites will comprise six owner-operated and 15 franchise venues. We are very confident the board's target of 27 open Boom venues by the end of 2022 will be comfortably met.
So I was in London this week.
You live in London, Pad.
I know, but I was in central London and it's Easter holidays, but it was very, very busy. Like it felt even busier than it has ever been before. Mm. It was rammo. So I'd say that's a good thing for Boom Battle Bars, no?
Well, I'm looking at every day, Springboard, I think the company's called, they measure footfall across train stations, you know, all the exciting areas, that kind of stats, you know, just footfall. And we're literally only a couple of percentage points down on 2019, same time that year. So it's not far off that. And I know there's a big push now to get people back to the office. Just get back to the office. People working from home in their pyjamas. That's not the way to do business, is it?
You know, Actually, it is. Yeah, it works really well.
In your warmy blankie. In your lecky blankie. And anyway, they said, that's good news, that, but trading performance across both owner-operated and franchise is validating the board's box economics expectations for both sales and profitability. And also, co-located sites for Boom and Escape Hunt are to open soon in Exeter! Edinburgh! Hey! And Oxford Street! Alright. That's Paddy going to Oxford Street because he's Scottish. So that's the big one there. They don't like to say it's the flagship, but it is the flagship. It's it's 15,000 square meters. Square feet. We've had this before, haven't we, square feet? You know, it's hard getting shoes if you've got a square foot. But it really is, isn't it? We've got 2 square feet. Yes, I have.
great for measuring, though.
Do you have any shoes to fit me? Yeah. We don't, actually. We measure in inches, but we've never seen anyone with 2 square feet.
Right.
That's nothing. My business has got 15,000 square feet. Really? Ooh, that's interesting. The team has been bolstered in line with plans providing capacity for further anticipated rollout. Oh, it's anticipated, all right. Let me say one thing, right? My strategy... I'll say more than one thing, of course. But my strategy is to hopefully, via quality filters, uncover micro-cap stocks with the potential to be mid-capped. Mid-cap, I'm talking about sort of 300 million plus market cap, you know? That's what I'm talking about there. I think this is on its way to get there. If you look at the growth here, where's that tweet here? I mean, it's the growth. Phenomenal. Hang on, let's look here. Scroll down. Look at the tweet. XPF revenue growth forecast by broker over the next 2 years, okay? First of all, 2020 was a lockdown year, 2.7 million, okay? 2021, half a lockdown year pretty much, or pretty more than that, 6.9 million. That's 156% growth. Now, 2022, from 6.9 to 24.6 million, 257% growth. Then, up to 36 million, 46% growth. and you can, it'll carry on. And then what's nice then is, you know, this is the hardest, the costliest part of, you know, the rollout. A lot of them are franchisees, which is not capital, capital strain in any way, they're capital light. But once you get up there and you've got all your sites running out, then the margins improve, EBITDA improves, all that stuff. And you start to check out some cash. These companies will not get to their, you know, their potential until you own Reflex. Well, I say escape. And you've got another 2 years, it'll be flying. And if you looked on the broker note, guys, 2023 is a suggestion of a dividend. Now, what that says to me is that they will be profitable.
A dividend?
Yeah, you're paying out profits and
a
dividends.
Dividend?
Yeah.
Never had a dividend.
And I like the suggestion they will pay a dividend. So you're owning, you know, this is the way it should work. You should get a microcap stock, get some mid-cap, start paying dividends. You know, that's, you know, you can take that in cash if you want. And you can, you know, take a bit of that, then look for the next microcap stock to get to a mid-cap stock. But you have to use quality filters. Not all crap on AIM will go from micro to mid-cap. Most of them never will. Most of them are just lifestyle companies. I say most. A few are lifestyle companies for the board, pretty much.
Yeah.
But this has got a pathway, a definite pathway to mid-cap territory. It's like, it's like that paradise, you know, you see just in the distance there. They've come.
I've never even considered being a mid-cap share owner.
Yeah, well, you will be. And then you start having a bit of revenue, a bit of income from the things. And you can do with that what you see fit. Absolutely. Oh. What I'll be doing that is reinvesting in microcaps. You know, looking with another with another roadmap to that paradise they call the mid-cap land. It's almost like I just imagined in the micro cap land, there's little people with small caps, caps. They can't afford big caps, you know. And then once when you take that journey across the Yellowbrick Road to the mid cap land, the caps are just a bit more luxurious. They're nicer fit, you know. They don't just sit in the top of your head at a jaunty angle. They are fit properly, you know. But then what happens is you get just beyond that, you get the big fat big cap boys. And they got too much cap on their head.
Right.
And they would, but they're greedy for caps, though. So they like a bit of mid-cap. My cap's a bit big now. I can't really move around too much in it, you know? There's not much moving room. It slows me down. Mm. I'm going to buy a mid-cap. See what happens there? They buy something like XP Factory. Something like, you know, a big leisure company. Name a big leisure company, Steve.
Recom.
Recom. Oh. Who the heck is Recom?
Obviously.
What?
Who the heck is Recom? Steve?
They are a nightclub company in the UK.
Are they?
Germany, yeah. They own pretty much most of the nightclubs.
Wow, I didn't know that, Steve. And maybe they're seeing...
Inside the knowledge from Steve.
Yeah, that's good, because it's a Recom, because you basically... One, you know...
They own, like, all the prisms and stuff.
All the prisons? What do they want to own prisons for?
They're good nightclubs.
Nightclubs.
They got a captive audience. They can't get out. It's full every Friday. Full every Friday. Full every Saturday. Full every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, love it.
I was quite fun. I was drinking in one of their bars. They got a brand called Heidi's, which is like a beer keller brand. And I was drinking in there on Sunday. And there was an Easter egg on the table next. Well, actually on the floor. And someone just go, have you not opened the Easter egg yet? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And I opened it. There was 10 free drinks inside it.
Is the Easter egg on the floor?
Yeah.
Do they have any idea of presenting stuff? I mean, it's something you take on the floor.
I think it was an Easter egg hunt. It was like hidden behind like the patio heater.
It's like dirty fries.
Yeah, like it was sat there for the whole, and we all like, oh, there's an Easter egg on the floor there. No one like commented, so someone said, you should probably open that. Yeah, there was 10 free drinks in it. I was like, oh, cool.
I guess adults see eggs on the floor and go, that's probably something to avoid. Children see eggs on the floor and go crazy.
That's it. See, they've gone into that there, the management team, expecting the adults to have, kid-like qualities, aren't they? But you only get those kid-like qualities after a few drinks, I suppose. Floor!
I thought it was a rat trap.
Here we are. That's the practicality of a grown human, saying, that's not an egg, it's a rat trap. No, it's a magical egg with prizes. No, it's a rat trap. I'm not trusting you, fella. Put my hands in there, my fingers taken off. So you've got 10 free drinks, that's nice. Yeah, so they are big, see? I don't know how big they are. How big are they, Steve? Any idea of valuation?
I have no idea. They're based outside the UK, their head office. I can't remember, they're German or Swedish or something.
How do you spell it?
R-E-K-O-M.
R-E-K-O-M. Pete trying to get in there with a bit of knowledge, pretending he knows.
R-E-K-A-M.
R-E-K-O-M.
Recom.
R-E-K-O-M.
They own Prism and Attic in Aberdeen and Steinbeck and Shaw in Bristol and Eden in Portsmouth and Fiction in Handley and Cameo in Andover. And
God, I bet that's bleak.
Yeah.
Cameo in Andover, Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm. And they own 46 nightclubs and it's the largest square footage of nightclub capacity in the UK, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
they would have had a hell of a time over the last 2 years. So, good luck to them.
So they're probably thinking, how do we diversify our revenue streams away from nightclubs just as in some other leisure area? We don't move too far away from our base. But how do we diversify? And they're thinking, I know, there's a fantastic new thing called competitive socialising and escape rooms.
Yeah, I bet they've got some floor space that's probably underused or markets where there's lots of other nightclubs and they're not the leading contender.
Well, they were a different company through lockdown and that company went under and this Recon bought all the UK nightclubs and they got rid of all the crap. So I think they're probably actually quite...
Listen to the history here, right? Luminar Group Holdings PLC was established... Luminar Group was started in 1988 with the opening of its first nightclub, Manhattan Night Spot, in Kingsling, Norfolk.
Nice.
Manhattan Nightclub. Why would you... Manhattan Night Spot.
Yeah.
To Norfolkians, that's what they're called, the Norfolkians, they would love that. It's glamour. Let's go to the Manhattan Nightclub. Manhattan Night Spot. How do they speak in Norfolk?
Yeah, a bit like that.
We are going tonight to Manhattan. Manhattan in Kings Lynn. That is fantastic. It's got flashing lights and drinks and everything. It's lovely.
You don't need to go to New York. You just see
it. It's like you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah. They've brought Los Angeles to Norfolk.
You go there, you feel like you are in Los Angeles or Las Vegas, honestly. Yeah. Honestly, it's lovely.
It's called Manhattan.
It's Manhattan Night Spot. Absolutely great. Fantastic. Then they talk to you with American accents behind the bar. Mm.
That's it.
The continued growth in the discotheque division and the creation of the popular Chicago Rock Cafe concept meant Luminar became a successful leisure company in the early 1990s. There we are. Yeah, but it's quite one theme, aren't they, for nightclubs, you know? Anyway, I think
not enough axe throwing and stuff.
Yeah, the next big thing, though, the next big thing will be, what's it called?
Gunslinging.
No, I think... Trampoline.
Staying at home.
Lassoing.
Trampolining. Hey, staying at home.
Trampolining, that's not a good idea.
But staying at home, right? Mm.
Yeah.
That is the metaverse, isn't it, essentially?
Mm.
I suppose people don't want to go out. They want to mingle. They just want to go out their house.
Yeah. You've been doing this for years, right?
That's dystopian.
In your garage.
But that's a bit dystopian. You know, you're not the word dystopian, but that's a bit dystopian. If you want to enjoy your life, don't go out and mingle with real people.
No.
Do it with cartoons online. You know, they can touch you and stuff.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
You know, tingles. I have very little doubt it'll go from to be a mid-cap coming years, and it'll be taken out. Taken out by the big boys, by the big-cap boys. Who's this fast up-and-coming mid-cap we can see?
Yeah.
Let's take him out, boys.
That's it.
Anything else? One more thing. Space and People, I own a bit of that. Good recovery play. Final results out next week. And if you just do the math on that, they're undervalued. Ridiculously undervalued. Ridiculously undervalued. And you've got to look at value. In this day and age, you've got to look at value. Really have. In these markets, anything overpriced, overvalued, is taking a hammering. Have you seen Netflix? Seen all that?
Yeah.
Netflix, Facebook, taking a hammering, all that stuff. But Netflix...
If you had to pick one or the other, what would you go for?
Netflix or Facebook?
No, people or spaces.
Or spaces, absolutely. Wouldn't you?
But without people, the spaces aren't going to be...
Space and people. No. If it's space and people, I wouldn't mind. How much space we got between people? It depends how much gap there is between people. You know?
I think I prefer people. That's going to be more fun, isn't it?
No, they're not. People are idiots. frankly, every time I go out, I very rarely go out. You know, I walk the dog. I sometimes go to the shop, something like that. Or if I take the kids somewhere, like flip out or something like that. It reminds me why I shouldn't go out.
You just sit in the car, don't you? You let them go in.
No, I actually go on the trampolines myself, but I hate it when people share my space in there. Get off my trampoline, man. You know?
Yeah. Or child, in fact.
You invaded
my trampoline, little boy.
You invaded my band space here.
Oh, you know? Granddad.
Yeah. I said, really? I didn't realise I was your granddad. Yes, mummy said. Anyway, Space and People, last trading update. Look at this, right? 4.5 million they did in 2021. We know that. They did a pre-closed trading update a few weeks back. So they'll have earned 4.5 million for 2021. Okay. Now, 3.4 million of that was in H2, the second half of the year, right? But December, we had a lockdown. Remember that? It's a work from home, please. Going to catch the COVID. Stay in your houses. Stay in your houses. Dirty COVID. And so we had to stay in the house. People were walking on the streets. Do you remember that with big speakers?
Get back indoors. You are going to catch the COVID. Your brain will explode.
Anyway, so we had all that. Oh, hang on, I've got a guest coming in.
Oh, yeah. This sounds implausible. Yeah. It's like Radio 4 radio drama.
There's someone coming up the stairs.
is that a horse?
Yeah, so it comes in. So anyway, so look at that, right? If you do the breakdown of that, right? Now, December is one of their busiest months because what they do is their promotions, all that stuff, footfall areas, all that stuff. But there's no one there. There's no one there in December. So they didn't get any money for that. But they just still did 3.4 million in that second half. Even if you break that down, on a monthly basis then, and replicate that across this year, I don't think there's going to be a lockdown this December. It's one of the busiest months. I assume there's not going to be a lockdown. They'll do 6.8 million. Their market cap is literally 2.7 million. That's a silly. Most companies are listed, trade on a multiple of sales. They're even half of that. EVs. So if they do that, I see this year an upgrade. This year they're not going to be revealing any new. They may do an outlook, saying it's been very busy for the first 3 months and we think it's going to look very good. But the Mega Broker Note comes out and suggests that this year they'll do a run rate of like 7 million or something. They did 7 million in 2019. It was slightly profitable. Now they've got a bigger amount of estates and they're in Germany as well. And they've cut 1 million in costs. So I just didn't think, what's going on here? I just think this is silly and undervalued. Even if you do it on one-time sales, right? Say do 7 million. That's about 200% upside from here. So silly. But you never can pre-guess the stock market. Who knows, It's crazy stuff, isn't it? Have any of you cancelled any of your streaming services? Because we're going to a TV now, TV recommendations. But there was a survey out. Apparently 1.5 million people in the UK have cancelled a streaming service.
I want to get more. I've only got four.
I haven't, but annoyingly,
you've got my Disney Plus. You little sods, Stephen, Pete.
I've been getting through that. To be honest, that's been helping me the last week.
Yeah. Sorry,
I don't watch any of this.
That was sounding weird, didn't it? How did that come out so wrong then?
Yeah, you've been really using it. Did I tell you that I told you this, but I'll tell the listener. Monty loves Disney Plus. For Family Guy, I didn't realise how risky that was. I thought it was.
Yeah,
I've watched a bit of it. I've watched previously. Very good though. He loves it, right? And now you've got profiles on Disney Plus. And I went on the other day, and I don't know what happened. I created a profile for him, and I changed his Family Guy, and I created a profile for Stephen Pete, which is the problem with Netflix. Apparently, people sharing passwords and cut down on that now. Monty went, someone's been looking at my Family Guy. So what? Someone was not on that episode. I've not seen that one. I said, Mon, calm down. There are kids in Ukraine looking for water. And their mother. You are. Why do we go? I've deleted that profile. What? That profile you said, I've deleted it. Mon, it wasn't them, it was me. I was on it. I changed it over and went to a different episode. What did you do that for? And you're a meltdown, a Family Guy. So I've now created profiles Pete and Steve. In the avatars of the girls from Frozen.
Yeah, perfect.
I don't know who they are, the names of those girls from Frozen.
I think I'm Elsa.
Elsa, okay. What's the other one? Anya. Yeah. But anyway, on Disney Plus, so Netflix, I think, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, they fell off a cliff, right? First time ever they've lost subscribers. And I've not been watching Netflix. I don't know whether there's not as good content on there. I've been noticed our recommendations of late. Not many have been Netflix. Now, this is competition, isn't it? Some have been from Apple. Some have been from. If you look at this is what Wall Street. This is what Peter Lynch is all about. look at your behavioural trends. What are you looking at? What are your friends looking at? And so, you know, is we're recommending stuff from Apple, from Disney Plus, not so much from Netflix. There was a time during lockdown, everything was from Netflix. So, and to deliver programs, good high quality programs, Paddy will know this, they're not cheap. If you want to deliver blockbuster, you know, big hits, they don't come in, you know, and they aren't competing with the likes of Apple, Disney, Amazon, who've got other businesses that are creating big cash. So to compete with those guys, it's going to be hard, isn't it? So where do you think Netflix is now? I don't know.
The problem is that all of these other companies have taken away their content from Netflix, so Netflix are now left with just their own stuff. So they've spent the last year or so trying to fill the platform up with lots of interesting, various, diverse things that appeal to people in lots of different countries. And they've had some success, like the... what was the Korean show called?
Yeah, but I just thought, to recreate that kind of success, hard. Yeah, but it's hard, isn't it? But to create blockbusters is very hard. You know, you think you're going to get the best directors, the best scriptwriters on there, and you don't know, it's a bit of potluck. You think, will this work or not? But to create something like Squid Games, I mean, they would never have thought Squid Games would be a massive hit that it was. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's really hard to create
Their model, they don't necessarily need that many, do they? They just need one maybe every 6 weeks or so, just enough that you don't quit your account.
So
they're definitely going to lose some people who... there's always going to be some flux, isn't there? There's always flux.
Yeah.
And I would have thought this crackdown on passwords is probably going to hurt them as well. But they have to do that. So, you know,
I
think
they're still going to allow you to share passwords between...
Are you talking to that voice, Steve? Yeah. So your voice is very high pitched there.
How is it?
It's like you had a dirty chip stuck in your mouth. Yeah. You're allowed to have certain. It's not legal because I share my Netflix password with Megan's parents. You know, and every now and again I change the password. She has to text with Megan. She won't text me. What's the new password? doesn't like to say. Why have we changed the password? But I mean. It's like, yeah, but you like to share, but they're going to say now they're going to cut down on the amount of devices you have, and maybe you can have a cheaper version where you get advertising as well. So rather than 10 quid a month or 13 quid a month, you get 5 quid a month, but you have adverts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. It's never made a profit. They have to do something to make a profit. It's
it has now. Netflix has, yes.
Land grab to try and get as many subscribers as possible.
I went up to, I actually knocked up a spreadsheet recently and looked at Netflix. I don't know if you'd be fascinated by the figures. Do you want me to tell you the figures they did last year? Okay.
Nope.
Growth was good, right? Up from $24.9 billion, right, dollars turnover to $29.6. That's 19% growth. They generated cash from operations of $259 million. $250 million to generate cash. But I was talking to Russ Mould about this. They did a buyback program the other day, so buying back their own shares, right? Really at the highest level you could, like last year, when the share price was at ridiculously triple where it was now, and they've taken a massive hit on it. So it's ridiculous. But but they have got debt of imagine this, $14.6 billion. And their market cap and their EV is $103 billion, so 10% to 11% debt, I suppose. But now I'm thinking, yeah, but you're competing with these guys, Apple. That's not Apple's main show, is it? It's not Amazon's main show. It's not Disney's main show. They've got other things going on. They're making money from big money. So is it hard to compete with these guys? You know, because they can.
But it's never been their play has just been to get as many subscribers as possible and then be bought by someone. Sure, I mean that's all to IPO. I mean that. It's not intended to be a company which...
Who's going to buy them now, though? Now they've
Well, like if Disney services. Bolted that subscriber base onto their platform, then suddenly they've got the number one. I mean, I don't know, they may already have the number one, but if any of those other three was to buy it, or Paramount, which has got their own one now, which isn't quite as big in America, then suddenly they're huge, aren't they? And they've got the back catalogue as well.
Yeah, but
is there such a thing as a monopoly, like market, like a like regulation for streaming services? I wonder.
No, it's a competition. But you should listen to Russ Mould actually saying the capital model is this, right? You create a good business, okay? People with big margins, people can make money from that. Other people will jump into that space. That's it. It's competition. Unless you've got a moat, as Warren Buffett talks about, which means you have an amazing brand or you have some IP they can't copy. Apple's a bit like that, you know? You can make Android phones, yes, but it's not Apple devices, is it? They've got the brand in it. It's very strong. And that's why Apple are pretty much holding up the S&P. It's nuts. If you look at all the stocks that have tumbled recently, Apple's hardly tumbled at all, but it's one of the it's the biggest company in the world. So it's phenomenal. So is that's the way the capital markets work, isn't it? If someone's making truckloads of cash through a business idea, other people will jump into your space. Simple as that. And that's the way it works. You know what I'm saying? That's what Netflix. And trouble is, Netflix have got the biggest boys in the industry jumping into this space. You know, you imagine now having your competitors as Apple, Amazon, and Disney. Thinking, oh my God, that's a bit worrying. I don't know if anyone's going to buy them for $103 billion, though. I mean, it's, I don't know who they're still. You know, what are they trading on? What's the to the mass, $93 billion. Well, it's not that bad. $30 billion turnover, so $100 billion. That's like 3x sales. It's not bad for a big company of that. It's a big company trade on less sales, not going to grow as much. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, TV recommendations? Anything from Netflix, ladies and gentlemen? Paddy, you're singing in harmony. What the hell's going on there?
That was quite good. I like that, boys.
What was that? Was it two of you doing that, was it?
Yeah.
Do it all together. 1, 2, 3. Right? All together. Ready?
Yeah, not as good. Yeah. I've not watched anything on Netflix for weeks.
No, I haven't.
There we are. That's the business model crashed. There we are. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd, though? Look at the share price. It's fallen off a cliff.
And I watched the Tinder swindler a few weeks ago. That was quite
good. Yeah, I saw that. Yes. But I watched that with Megan, and she said, those girls are thick as dog poop.
Yeah.
Because she said, if I was dating someone and they asked me for money, straight away, I wouldn't talk to them again.
Well, no, if you were dating someone and on the first date they went, hey, how about we fly to, where do they go to? Yeah. Like, Hungary. Like, that would make you go, this is a bit weird.
No.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Call me when you get back.
So, Netflix share price, by the way, $682 back in November, now $214. Wow. That's a big fall, isn't it? I think Fred owns those in his little,
oops, you know, idiot.
And Disney is same though. Disney, like, and Facebook, all same. Everything's fallen off a cliff, apart from like Apple, is down at 9%. The rest of them down like 50. You know. Ridiculous amount.
Great time to buy.
Yes. So Steve's got a good recommendation by using Monty's login on Disney Plus.
Family Guy.
I love it.
Yeah. No, we read this book about 6 years. Just realises, though, how long it takes for someone to come to court. Because we read this book, like, must be when we started the podcast, I think. It was about Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. Theranos. How did you say it? Theranos, that's it. Because it's about therapy and diagnostics. Theranos, see? So what's it called, Steve? I can't remember now.
Dropout. No. Is it Dropout or Drop-Off?
Yeah. No, Dropout.
Yep. Drop-Off. I didn't realise this because many, you know, big people have dropped out of Stanford. Stanford is one of the big IT techs of, you know, entrepreneur incubators, isn't it? And let's say Elon Musk has dropped out. Bill Gates dropped out, Steve Jobs dropped out, all these people dropped out, she dropped out. This company is worth looking at. This is a true story. I oddly didn't use any real footage. Maybe they're not allowed to. But sometimes they do, don't they?
It's a drama, isn't it? But if you, there is a really drama, good documentary.
Isn't it? It's a drama, isn't it? Well,
There's a good documentary on Sky Documentaries of her, actually, and it's got quite a lot of inside footage.
Yeah, it's amazing how she hoodwinked.
You read the book?
No. But you say that for a joke because you've asked that about 20 times now. Yes, I read the book. Yes.
No, I think it was a joke, yeah.
It was a joke, standard joke. Have you read the book, by the way?
Yeah.
It's amazing just how she hoodwinked some of the best investors around, you know? And you realise, Bill Ackman invested in Netflix and he's always been a very bullish guy. And when a stock drops off a cliff, he always backs it anyway, saying, no, this is going to, it's a dip, it's worth buying. This week, oddly, Netflix dropped, he sold out, and did a big letter. You can see it, just search it up on Twitter, explaining why he's got out of Netflix, which he doesn't normally do. He's one of these guys that does not back down. But, yes, amazing how so you realise, you know, even the big guys, you think, you know, we're talking about, get it wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And they're full of it. Anyway, it's worth watching. Dropout is good. Started watching that. Any recommendations, Peter?
Well, on Disney also, thanks to you. Get Back.
We talked about this, Peter.
The Beatles. No, I know. Yeah. But I it's what I've been watching. So if somebody's missed that recommendation, I would say...
We might as well go back to Clarkson's Farm, haven't we? Clarkson's Farm again. I don't care. It's what I've been watching. It's very good. It finished 5 years ago.
I'm sure some people will be hearing this for the first time. So, I can recommend that.
I tell what I've got into.
MasterChef's back on.
Yeah. I tell what I've got into. El Dorado. It's on BBC iPlayer. That's 30 years ago. I don't care. I'm watching it, okay? I've got into it. I'm watching it. I don't care.
There's
No. I'm watching it, okay? Don't pick the mic.
Okay, on Netflix, there is a sitcom. There's a bunch of people living in, like, New York. They're in their sort of 20s. It's called Friends.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. I don't care, okay? I'm watching it. It's very good.
It's quite funny.
I don't care. I'm watching it. That's an excellent defence. It's actually, it's been trashed by all critics. I don't care. I'm watching it, okay? I like it.
Yeah.
I'd recommend, actually, I've been watching...
this is going to go on forever.
No, it's not. It's a real one. It's a real one.
Oh, okay.
On BBC iPlayer.
The news.
Yes. The 6 o'clock news. It's wonderful. Every evening, 6 o'clock, they have different topics they cover. It's very well done.
I prefer the repeat at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, I've been watching Idris Elba's Boxing Club. Have you seen that?
No.
Worth a watch.
Okay.
All I'm saying, he takes about six people from who's had hard upbringings, and he decides to say, you know, because discipline in life. And he said he started off like that, doing boxing, giving discipline, going to acting and all that stuff. I don't know how he made the jump from boxing to acting, but it's good actually. And you got some guys, you know, sort of jumping out of it and can't be bothered to get up in the morning, and he has a go at them. And the end goal is they all do a real life fight in front of a big crowd, you know. But it's worth watching. It's very good. I'm going to watch actually Tyson Fury and. And Dylan White on the weekend. But also, by the way, Get Back. I was searching for more Beatles stuff.
Seen it.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm watching it, okay? I really like it, okay? I don't care. I'm watching it, okay?
All right, good.
He's watching it.
Yeah. But a lot of the times, I didn't realise the songs came from, because they're very out of the clouds, these songs. They just come from anywhere. And one of the times, Hard Day's Night, or was it 8 days a week, there was a driver that said... To Paul McCartney, that he said busy. Paul McCartney said to the driver, "Oh mate, it's been a hard day's night." You know, he said that, and he said, "I've been working 8 days a week." You know, and he picked that up. And apparently, he went on a trip. They're on a tour, and they're in a cafe. And the guy said to Paul, "He says, well, can you pass the Sergeant Pepper?" He said, "What?" He said, "Can you pass the salt and pepper?" Oh, I thought you said Sergeant Pepper. He said, "No, I said salt and pepper. Why did I say salt and pepper?" He said, "No, I said salt and pepper." Oh, he said, "Okay." And then that's the way they get ideas. It's amazing, isn't it? It's salt and pepper.
Really?
The answer, yeah.
That's a true thing.
Search it up. It's good, yeah. I like things like that, do you?
Yes. No.
Okay, boys, that's it. I think, is that enough, Pad?
Absolutely plenty.
Yeah. I think you can cut out about 35 minutes of that.
Are you kidding? That's gold.
Okay.
Anyway, all right, boys, have a nice weekend. And any plans?
I'm going to watch this thing on Disney. Yeah, okay. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Paddy. You never say bye.
Paddy.
All right, yeah, sorry, bye. Yeah.
It's like my father on the phone. My father never says bye on the phone. He just put the phone down. Bye, Dad. And he's gone. Where's his manners?
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.